But Tim has asked me to talk. We've had a really good conversation about awareness, actually. And I shared with him that his message today will be about that. So he'll talk, he'll say a lot more about it. But I have, when I teach, when I counsel, one of the main things that I want to do for people is to help them become more aware of themselves, more aware of what is real. And the hope is that with increased awareness comes better decision making, or you see more options. There are more options, more decisions, or better decisions because you see greater options. So increasing awareness is the main thing. It's why I talk with clients about their families, and I want to understand a little bit about where they came from. And it's not, and I always say this at the beginning, it's not to fix a blame anywhere, or, you know, to blame someone for how we are. It's just, oh yeah, there's that about me. There's that about me. And so it just kind of increases your awareness about that, so you can make better decisions. And our conversation that Tim and I had was really the things that he told you about how his messages come to him. And I witnessed that, and I see it. I'm not with him at work, but many times he will text me a scripture verse or something that is really meaningful, and he'll say, this has captured my imagination. So I know how that works for him. And I think as a pastor, and this is what I pray for him, because it's praying for myself, really, as a pastor, he is called to increasing our awareness as a congregation about the things of the kingdom of God. You know, it's like Dan's prayer request this morning for the Holy Spirit to, you know, to enlighten you. That's just what happens here in Newville, I think, in this building, in this place, that the Holy Spirit speaks to the one he is called to be our leader and tells this leader something. You know, what he is describing to you, it sends chills down my back, because this is what he is responding to, a call from God to lead a group of people. And so God's not going to leave him alone if he is looking for messages from the Holy Spirit to share. So his task is to increase your awareness about the things of the kingdom. And so I'm listening to that. And it should go along with my accumulated awareness in my life, in my vocation, anything that I do. It should go along with that, and especially go along with Scripture. And hopefully it does. It's just, you know, increasing your awareness is something, it's just a good thing. When I put my twins on the school bus a long time ago, I went back to school myself. And the first course I took was a philosophy course at OSU. And I remember one of my main goals, and I had a very sheltered life. The two people that sat there, one of them, my father has, you know, passed away, but sheltered me, didn't they, Barry? They sheltered us. And so I went back to school for one reason, is that I wanted to be confident in what I said. I wanted to not contradict my own self. Do any of you know what I mean by that? I didn't want to contradict myself. I wanted to be sure of the things that I said. I wanted to increase my awareness of myself and of the world. And I think that stood me. It was an interesting course, but you don't take a philosophy course at a secular college without getting your awareness expanded quite a bit. But Tim and I have also talked about the fact that when we increase our awareness, we can use that for good or for ill. If our focus is to be an image bearer, God's image bearer, then the awareness that we gain, we can use to further God's kingdom. We could also use that increased awareness for ill. Ultimately, what that is just manipulation, which is not a good thing. But it can be used for good or for ill, and that is something that always will take constant prayer. So I don't know if our conversation, if I've left anything out of what you were. Okay, I hope that's helpful. But the scripture verse that I finally do get to read is about the awareness of somebody very important in our history, and that is Joseph. And I am reading from Matthew chapter 1. I'm reading about the birth of Jesus. And I'm reading chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. And it is on the back of the devotionals. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." May God bless that reading of his word.
I also want to draw your attention to the quote inside the devotional. You didn't leave this out, honey. I didn't tell you to do it. And the title of the message today. The title is Joseph Listens to God and Eternity is Changed. This is the title. And then I want you to look at the quote down there at the bottom of the middle page. God works in his world through the agency of his obedient listeners. So does Satan. Teresa and I had my bride, as I've told you many times, about the last time we were there, about 3 years ago. We were in the Caribbean, in Jamaica, and at this particular place we stayed at, they had these big white rubber floats that would accommodate your whole body. I mean, so we took these floats out into the Caribbean, two of us, and it was a very calm sea out there, and we're laying on these floats, and it was so calm. We went to sleep. It was really nice. And all of a sudden, out farther in the ocean, some boat goes, you know, roaring through, and the wake of that boat, came up and rocked these little rubber floats that we were on and woke us both up and just disturbed the peace and the quiet that we had. The Holy Spirit wants you to be aware of something today. This is the message. Your wake affects others. I want you to be aware of this. And let's ratchet that up a little bit. Not that you're just going to give somebody a bad day and wake them up out of a slumber. And by the way, metaphorically, have you ever been sleeping on your raft in life and bam, somebody sends their wake your way? You know what I'm talking about? You get a phone call, someone comes to your house, or someone intrudes or insinuates their wake into your life. You know what I mean. Your wake can affect others for eternity. This is important. Your wake can affect someone's salvation. Talk about awareness. See, the enemy doesn't want us to be aware of this. The enemy wants you to think you are not significant in God's kingdom and that your comings and goings and toings and froings don't affect others. It has been so laid upon my heart, the importance of this message and the kingdom value that we have as God's people, for ill or for good. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:16. He said, here's how important you are, people of God. He said, in the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works, Tim's interpretation, so that they may feel your wake. And the upshot of that, what happens, Jesus says, and when they do that, they're going to give praise to your Father who is in heaven. You know, so often we as God's people are hung up on closing the deal. You know what I mean by that? Closing the deal. You've got to get somebody to do or say something so that you're satisfied. Let go of that. But hold on to this. Your wake is important. And here's another thing. It happens day by day. It happens moment by moment. It happens person by person that you come in contact with. The people you come in contact with, that you work with, hey, how about this one? How about your family? How about your spouse? How about your children? You think they feel your wake? You think you affect them? Teresa talked about manipulation. Yeah. See, I can be aware. I had great influence on my boys. I'm aware of that. I could have manipulated them with that, couldn't I? I can then get them to do what I want them to do because I know that my wake affects them. Let's say you're out to get somebody. This awareness can be used for such evil. You're out to get somebody. They're going to pay. And here's how I'm going to get them to pay. They're going to feel my wake. The height of evil. Jesus says clearly, and here you're going to understand and know whether it's God speaking to you or the enemy speaking to you. And I think that is a quandary. I think it's a struggle, isn't it? It is for me. It's a struggle. I think, you know what? I think that the Spirit has helped ferret this out for me, and I think it can be helpful to you, and therefore we can be used by God powerfully for the kingdom. Jesus said the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. Jesus said, that's the only reason he comes. Interesting bit of medical information here for you, by the way. You know, I love the way theology and physiology tie together. Kingdom value ties in with health. And then the enemy's values tie in with disease. You know what a cancer cell does? A cancer cell, and this Jesus says this, what, 2,000 years ago? Here's what a cancer cell does. A cancer cell, in association with a healthy cell in our body, first of all, steals nutrients from the healthy cell. It steals enough nutrients from that healthy cell, it eventually kills that cell. After it kills enough cells, it destroys the host. Cancer. The enemy. Only comes to steal something from you, kill something in you, and destroy something in you, and here's your awareness. Be aware of this, God's people. Others. The onus is on us. It is such an awesome responsibility for God's people. And the enemy does not want us to be aware of this. So Jesus says, that's what he comes to do. Now, conversely, the one who is from God, Jesus says, the one who is from God listens to God's words. Well, what are God's words? I summed it up with three words. What does Scripture scream of? Three words. Mercy, comfort, forgiveness. Would you agree with that? Would that sum up Scripture? Would that sum up Jesus' mission? So the one who is from God, Jesus says, here's how I know they're from God. Here's how you know if someone's from God. They listen to God's words, and his words are mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. And Jesus says, what that does is it brings abundant life to people. Jesus said, I came to give life, and I came to give it in abundance. That's his wake. What's your wake? Think you aren't important in this cosmic struggle? Now, someone's going to say to me, Tim, why would a sovereign God deign to institute his sovereign rule through clay jars? Clay jar right here, Tim Davis, big clay jar, a lot of cracks. So you would have to say, why? Why would God deign to do that? Because he's sovereign. He could just do this by fiat, couldn't he? This is my kingdom. This is the way it's going to be. And it's just going to be done by fiat. God could say that. God, though, amazingly, surprisingly, works in and through his world. He works in his world. He institutes his sovereign rule through the agency of his obedient listeners. Caveat, so does Satan. Now, if you are, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Oh, yes, I know that's not popular. I know we're not supposed to talk about the devil. We're not supposed to talk about Satan. There's no evil in the world. It all has a now. All evil now has a code, a diagnosis code. It's not evil. It's this diagnosis code, which has taken over psychology, I think. Another issue. But Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And here's how I know that. You want to carry out his desires. Do you ever want to hurt somebody? That's how I know you're of the devil. You want to carry out his desires. What does the enemy come to do? Steal, kill, destroy. Have you ever wanted to carry out the enemy's desires to steal something from somebody, to kill something in somebody, or to destroy something? You're awake. And it comes down to this, God's people. You are either advancing God's purpose, just articulated, abundant life, or you're here to advance the enemy's purpose, just articulated, stealing, killing, and destroying. There is no middle ground, especially for God's people. And what does it depend on? It depends on who you listen to, which depends on who you belong to. Who has your ear? And you know where this is played out most significantly? In other words, if you want to know who has your ear, here's where it's played out in life. Tomorrow, today. Two areas. Forgiveness and loyalty. Forgiveness of other people in all circumstances and loyalty to God in all circumstances. That is the litmus test. That will tell you who has your ear. Who are you listening to? You can be, if you're forgiving, obviously you're sent from God. If you're unforgiving, obviously you're sent from the enemy, because being unforgiving steals, kills, and destroys. Being forgiving brings abundant life, brings comfort, brings mercy, comfort, and forgiveness into somebody's life. Here's a takeaway. Here's the money phrase today. Whom you listen to has eternal consequences. And I will add this caveat to that. You will answer for it. God's people, this notion that God's people are not going to answer for the way we have lived and what we have done here with our mandate as God's people, then I don't know where that came from, because I'll tell you what, that's not biblical. You'll answer for it. I will answer for it. I'll answer for it in this life, or I'll answer for it in the next life. Eternal consequences, and that brings us to the story of Joseph. This is a powerful story. You've heard this story many times. I just want to show you some very significant things here, which I'm sure are going to help you. I'm sure of it. And here, I'm going to tell you this. Don't let the enemy rob this from you today. Don't let the enemy distract you today. Don't let the enemy tell you that you don't need to be aware of this today. Because the minute he does that, he wins that game. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Joseph listens, and I want you today to stretch your imagination a little bit, and I want you to imagine if Joseph hadn't listened. Joseph listens, and eternity is changed. Verse 18, the birth of Jesus came about this way. And here I'm going to sum up the rest of those verses with two words. Joseph listened. The birth of Jesus came about this way. There was one who was of God, who was sent from God, who listened to God. Let me stretch your minds a little bit. I have always contended that all of Scripture is not written yet. Go with me. Just track with me for a minute. Scripture ended with John on the island of Patmos, right? Revelation. That's the written book that we have. Do you know my belief is, I could be wrong, but my belief is that we get into the consummated kingdom, there's going to be an additional, there's going to be an addendum to Scripture. And you know who's going to be in there? Us. The church. You. Your comings and goings, your workings. What do you think about that? And you know what's going to happen? I want you to, this first verse 18, that first sentence, I want you to substitute this. The advancement in this book, the advancement of God's kingdom came about this way. Teresa listened. We talk about rewards in heaven. We talk about crowns. You know what you're going to find out on that day? And you know why I say God's people are going to answer for their listening or they're not listening? Because what you're going to find out that day is what happened in the kingdom of God here and now because you listened. Are you tracking? You see, take that first sentence and say, the birth of Jesus came about this way, Joseph listened. There are going to be many, many stories like that. This is the ultimate advancement of God's kingdom, but there are penultimate advancements of God's kingdom also, and that's where you and I come in to be. That's where you and I come in, and I'm going to read that someday. The advancement of the kingdom of God came about because Tim Davis listened. Or not. What opportunities have I missed to advance the kingdom of God by not listening? What opportunities have you missed? Who have I hurt because my wake was because I wanted to carry out the enemy's desires? Not Joseph. After his mother, Mary, Jesus' mother, had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Okay, never been done before, never been done since. And here's this little, what, how old was Mary? 14, 15 years old? And she's got to sell this to Joseph. Try that on. She was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So, her husband Joseph, being a righteous man. Look at the definition of what it means to be righteous. You want to shame somebody? somebody did something wrong? You want to shame them? The outcropping of righteousness here is he tries to protect Mary. And Joseph, being a righteous man, Matthew says, well, of course he did the following. He showed her mercy. He didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to divorce her secretly. Joseph was righteous. Joseph demonstrated the fourth beatitude. The fourth beatitude is, if you're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you're going to be filled with righteousness. What's the very next thing that happens? What's the very next beatitude? What's the very next outcropping in our lives when we're filled with righteousness? What's the next beatitude? You know? You're blessed if you're merciful, because you're going to be shown mercy. You know what could have happened here? First of all, is Joseph listening to God here? First of all, yeah, he is. He's listening. He's listening because the worldly response, Mary cheated on me. Mary, you're going to pay. You know what the law said? What happened to Mary? What would happen, Teresa? Stoned. The law of Moses. Kill her. Do you know what was at stake here? Does it not just kind of stretch your minds to understand? And I don't know how to reconcile this. That here's God's ultimate intrusion into his time, space, matter world, and he depends on a man to listen. What do you think about that? Oh, you can say to me, well, Tim, he didn't have to have Joseph listen. God could have done this anyway. Well, then I'm going to say back to you, well, he sure spends a lot of time in these next few verses trying to get Joseph to listen to him. Does that change your life? That God doesn't just work in his world through unilateral fiat by unilateral power, that he has involved humanity in this. And I would sign on with the author of the eighth psalm here. The author of the eighth psalm, I love that psalm. He says, you know, when I look at the works of your hand, God, I look at the moon, I look at the stars, I look at creation itself, I got to wonder. He says, I got to wonder why you even give man a thought. Why? The psalmist says, you know, we can say the same thing. Why? Why would you deign to involve us, God? But still, he does. Now, this is a messy situation. Messy. You run into any messy situations in your life? And if you have, how have you dealt with it? You've dealt with it one of two ways. You've stolen, killed, and destroyed that which was making your life messy. Or you've shown mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. Let's transpose this into a modern key, these first two verses. What would have been done today? Mary, you've got to have an abortion. And we can sanitize this whole thing, and it'll be done behind closed doors, and no one will know, and it'll be over. We'll just wash our hands of this and go on like it never happened, Mary. This is messy. And you know what you've learned? You have learned techniques in order to deal with messy situations in your life. Haven't you? You either have learned the enemy's techniques, And let me say this about the enemy's techniques of stealing, killing, and destroying. They work. On the surface, they work. And you've learned, hey, that worked. That worked in this messy situation. Here's another messy situation. I'm going to employ the same technique. I'm against the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is coming. That's Joseph. He's against the Red Sea. I signed on with this woman. I'm going to marry her. But he's righteous. Verse 20. That was his initial reaction. And it is a righteous reaction. And no one can blame him. And Joseph is absolutely correct. He could have divorced Mary. But, verse 20, after he had considered these things, let me tell you something about listening to God and about prayer. Walk at God's pace when you pray. Joseph is walking at God's pace. Messy situation. He is listening to God, but he waits. He's considering it. Doesn't act. Walk at God's pace. If you're confronted with a messy situation and it's just not being resolved as rapidly as you and your arrogance and your hubris think it should be resolved, Joseph, but after he had considered these things, he had given it some time, he had wrestled with it, he's praying about it. Here, let me give you a little thing, prayer. Here's what you do. If you want to know if it's God or the enemy, you pray, number one. Number two, you listen and wait. So important. Oh, I prayed about that yesterday and I don't have an answer. Therefore, I better insinuate myself into this right away. I better bring what I think should happen right away. You listen while you're waiting. And then number three, you act only after you listen and wait. Pray, listen and wait, and then act. That's the rhythm of prayer. That's walking at God's pace. And let me tell you another little Holy Spirit gift. If you have decided on an action after you've prayed, after you've listened and waited, and then you say, yeah, this is the action that is clear to me. I know that this is what I should do. I want you to do this. Consider your wake. You want to know if it's from God or the enemy? What if I take this action, which I'm crystal clear, God has told me to do this? What will your wake leave? Will you kill, steal, and destroy something? Because let me tell you, God doesn't traffic in that. So many, and you know the most insidious of evil is to do something and say that God told you to do it, and in your wake something is stolen, killed, and destroyed. God does not function that way. Jesus said, that's the enemy's purview. That's what he comes to do. You consider your wake. And if you don't consider your wake ahead of time, let me tell you, you will see your wake later. If you listen to the enemy, tell you something about him, he laughs at you. He has contempt for you. He mocks you. Teresa and I watched Ben-Hur. Great movie. You know that won 11 Academy Awards? 11. It was made in the 50s. And it's a story about the Christ. Really, Ben-Hur is a story about forgiveness and redemption. And, you know, I told some of the kids were over yesterday, and I said, if Ben-Hur were made today, the same movie, same characters, it wouldn't get a whiff of Academy Award. Because it says very boldly, it's a story of the Christ. And in that movie, have you seen that? The old one? Not that remake. The old one? Really good. In that movie, Judah Ben-Hur is out to get Marcella. Marcella hurt him. And he's going to make him pay. Marcella stole, killed, and destroyed something in Ben-Hur. And so Ben-Hur is going to retaliate with the same technique. And his wake is going to be that Marcella is going to have something stolen, killed, and destroyed. So they have the chariot race. And Marcella is thrown out of his chariot, and he's lying on the ground, bleeding and broken. And we noticed that. Teresa and I both noticed. And Judah Ben-Hur, after apparently victory, right? He got even. He keeps looking behind at Marcella lying on the ground. And the look on his face is, what did I do? You are going to see your wake. And Judah Ben-Hur, after that event, miserable. Pray. Listen. Act. But think of the wake. After he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, and the angel said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. It's true, Joseph. It's true. It is by the Holy Spirit. And further, she'll give birth to a son, and you're to name him Jesus, because he'll save his people from his sin. Do you want God to ratchet up his speaking to you? Do you know there's no higher privilege? Have you experienced it? God speaking to you? Yeah. What is it like? You want that to ratchet up? You want to have more responsibility in the kingdom? God knew Joseph. God knew Joseph belonged to him. God knew he had Joseph's ear. And so what does God do? He just entrusted Joseph with some pretty significant information, don't you think? God knows if he has your ear. The enemy knows if he has your ear. And if you listen to God, he will ratchet up the revelations. Hey, you want some arrogance from Tim? He knows he has my ear. And that is Holy Spirit gift. That is nothing within me that is anything over you at all. But he knows that I did listen to him. And therefore he knows that he can tell me more. Because he can entrust me with that. He wants to entrust God's people with ever greater kingdom work. But he's not going to do that if he doesn't have your ear. You know who else knows when you're listening? And he'll ratchet up his instructions too? Listen, this is the cosmic struggle we're in. Yeah, I'm passionate about it. I've lived it. This is the cosmic struggle we're in. You talk about a cosmic struggle right here? You know who else knows when he has your ear? The enemy. And you know what he'll do? He'll ratchet his instructions up too. I heard Charles Stanley this week on AFR, and he said, the enemy gets a toehold, then a foothold, and then a stronghold in your life, depending on who you listen to. And you can be crystal clear on who you listen to by considering your wake. We have such power. We have such power in God's kingdom. Verse 24. When Joseph got up from sleeping, He did as the Lord. Look at the little nuance there. He did as the Lord's angel had commanded. Do you think that when you hear God's voice, it's a suggestion? Hey, Dan, this would be a good idea, and you might want to consider. No, when you hear God's voice, you see here what I'm doing to you here today? I'm making you aware. It's my job. I'm making you aware. When you hear God's voice, that ain't a suggestion. It's a command. Well, we've lost so much of that in the church today. That obedience is optional. It's optional because it's grace. He did as the Lord's angel commanded him. Number one, he married her. Number two, he named him Jesus. The angel said, do this. Joseph does that. Does this seem impossible? Does this seem like a really messy, no way can this turn out good situation for Joseph? Let me suggest something to you. And here's what Joseph did. Joseph listens and he lets God ferret out the details. Don't run ahead of God. God will act on what God gives you and do no more. Oh, I know there's a lot of ambiguity in listening to God. I know it's a risk. Joseph showed comfort, mercy, comfort, and forgiveness to Mary. Well, here's what happens to you. Here's what happened to me. I'm the recipient of unparalleled mercy, comfort, and forgiveness. You know what has happened? You know what has overflowed now from my life? What would you think? Mercy, comfort, forgiveness. Because I've experienced it. Joseph shows that to Mary. It overflows from Joseph to Mary. It overflows from Mary to who? Who? Jesus. Yes, Jesus. You have no idea what your act of mercy, comfort, and forgiveness will do in God's kingdom in years out. Years out. And you know, I think the most poignant example of this in Jesus' life, remember the woman is caught in adultery? And they bring, purportedly Mary Magdalene, and they bring this woman to Jesus. And she's cowering there, and the crowd is surrounding her with rocks. They're going to kill her. Jesus, let he who was without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, they start leaving. And the woman is down there cowering. And Jesus says, where are your accusers and condemners? And she looks around. She says, they're gone, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Do you know what I think? What Jesus was thinking? That could have been my mother. You see how this works? That could have been my mom if Joseph had announced this to the village. Mary could have been stoned. And I have an idea that in Jesus' mind, when that poor woman is there before him, that played across his consciousness. You don't think that your mercy, comfort, and forgiveness goes into eternity? It does. Do you not also think that when you steal, kill and destroy something in somebody also goes into eternity? I'm telling you that it does. Pebble in a pond. Pebble in a pond. And you may never see when that washes up on shore in this life. I guarantee you, you will in the next. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would make us aware of the tremendous responsibility you have invested in us, your people. Amen.